Good morning to you. You know, it is really a privilege to be able to stand and share the Word of God. And it's not something that I would do lightly. And I know that I stand here only by the grace of God. No other reason. I have nothing that the Lord would want except to serve Him as He wants. So for this morning, it's just to be, I am very much aware of the grace of the Lord for all of us to be here, especially myself to stand here. And this morning, I wanted to share something that Andrew prompted last week. And that is, we were talking about the prodigal son and the fact that he was an heir and he took his inheritance. But you know, when you read Galatians 3 and 4, it says we all have an inheritance. You know, he emphasizes that we all have an inheritance. And that inheritance has been given to us. It's not something we've earned, but it's ours. And again, Andrew was talking about the fact that we get robbed of this inheritance. We get robbed of what has been given to us. And so this morning, I just wanted to focus a little bit on that. You know, like the prodigal son, his restoration came from the father, not from his own. He lost it on his own. His restoration came from the Father. And it only came when he repented and he asked forgiveness, put his pride aside, humbled himself, and went to the Father and said, "Forgive me." And that is something that applies to all of us, no matter where we are. And you know, he realized his state. He came to that place where he suddenly thought, "Oh, gosh. My servants, my father's servants have more than I have right now. I'm prepared to humble myself just to go along and say, Father, I'll serve you. I just want to be a servant in your house, just to be in your house." And sometimes I think we miss that we don't have that true desire to actually be in the Father's house no matter what it costs. And you know, we have to be prepared in these situations to deal with our pride. None of you, I know, except for me, has this pride problem. I'm sure none of you suffer from these issues. But one of the things that we need to understand is that as the Lord is building His church, and the Lord is building His church, and as we build our church here, as we get to know one another, as we get closer to each other, as we begin to see who you really are and who I really am, you have the opportunity to be offended. And to give offense. Whether you like it or not, as you get to know people, you find out things about them that you think, surely not. Such a pious man. Such a righteous. No, none of us is righteous. And so I wanted to share this morning that it's a fact of life that none of us is perfect before the Lord. None of us is perfect. But as the Lord is building His church, He needs us to be in a place of understanding that we need to bear with one another. And you know, as we're serving, and I'm sure you know these things, that as you begin to serve the Lord, as you begin to get closer within as the Holy Spirit brings us together, we start to rub against each other. And you know, the Lord puts people in front of us, puts people alongside of us, behind us, to rub against us. Iron sharpens iron. And whether we like it or not, it's not a test. It's what the Lord uses to grow us. And we need to see it for what it is. It's not something that the Lord is beating you with a stick for. It's He wants to grow us, to understand that we need to live with one another, to work with one another, to have a heart for one another, and more than that, to love one another. So I'd like to read as my main scripture. Is from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. Sorry, it's not up there. So if you could follow with me. It's Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. And I'll read it for you. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do." it's sometimes quite difficult to work with other people. It's quite easy, it's much easier in my experience to work by yourself and do it yourself. But the Lord doesn't do that. When you are smaller, possibly you can get away with it. But as you get bigger, you cannot do these things by yourself. You have got to come alongside other people a little. And you know, that's where things start to rub. And one of the things we need to appreciate is that the Lord wants us to have a heart that is willing to be worked, willing to be reconciled to one another, willing to allow Him to do the work in us. And you know, it's not always easy. And I'm sure some of you guys have been there. You understand how difficult it can be to work with one another. And the thing that's interesting, Andrew was talking about the unity of the Spirit on Wednesday night. It was a good discussion on the unity of the Spirit. And if we want a unity in the church, we have got to love one another. We've got to work with one another. We are not called to like one another. Nowhere does the scripture say, like each other. Liking is an emotional response to coming together. Like, it's in a club. You all play football. All those guys outside there, they like football, so they come together. Can we say, we like Christ, so we'll get together. And as long as, you know, don't misunderstand me. I do like you as well, Andrew. I mean, it's not that I don't. But the problem comes in when you don't like the person that comes in, because they're different. Different culture, different background, different accent, as you might realize. But they're different. And one of the problems we have is we react to different. Whether we like it or not, they're the same as us. So they're different. But the Lord is calling us to develop the relationships with that, to build relationships. Because, you know, it says that He's building us as bricks. When Peter talks about it, he says we are being built into a holy temple. So the Lord is taking each and every one of us and putting us in a building. Not where we want to go. Well, I like this guy. I want to sit next to Bernie. No. Much as I like him, I should actually love him. And I should love all my brothers and sisters. I should. But it's a work of the Lord in our hearts. And the question, are we prepared to allow Him to do that work in our hearts? You know, the interesting thing is that as we develop relationships, we get to know each other. And that can be quite interesting. Because you see things that you've never saw before. And you think, surely not. He can't be the pastor. Really? I'm just pointing out the fact that we do see things in one another that we don't really want to see. But the Lord brings us to that closeness so that we can begin to work in our hearts. And if we don't have that unforgiveness, I mean, we have that forgiveness in our heart, there's going to be a problem. You know, unforgiveness is a poison in the church. And when I say it's a poison, it truly is a poison. Have you ever considered that when you have unforgiveness and you hold it in your heart, it begins to poison you? You know, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's as simple as that. And it's not what the Lord wants of us. The Lord is clear. You know, Jesus Himself in Matthew 6:14. In fact, if you want to go with me to Matthew 6:14, we don't always like to hear what the Lord says to us. And if He says it, maybe it's because it applies to other people, not me. But this applies to all of us. And He's speaking about forgiving. And Matthew 6:14 says, If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's Jesus' words. I mean, it's really simple. It's not, I mean, any scripture, any different version of the Bible, it says the same thing. It's not like it's ambiguous. It's very clear. We need to forgive one another. And God has forgiven us. And we need to be allowing Him to work in us to forgive one another, to live with one another. You know, in Matthew 18, he gives the parable, when you get a chance to read it, he gives the parable of the unforgiving servant who he forgives of owing him 10 million bucks. He owes 10 million pounds, and the bank says, no problem. No problem, Martha. You're free. I'll write off your debt. And you think, oh, yes, please. Then Arthur wanders along to Simon and says, Simon, remember the 10 pounds you owe me? I want it. And Simon says, yeah, but tough at the moment. I want it, otherwise the boys are going to come round. So then I go and collect Glenn and we come visit Simon too. Extricate the money. What I'm saying is, what I'm talking about is fact. It's what happens in the world. And we need to make sure that we're not led into that trap, because it is a trap of the devil. We need to be careful that we don't have this attitude of unforgiveness. You know, the problem with unforgiveness, it hurts our pride if we have to go and forgive. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to the pride, we naturally have a lot of pride in us, some more than others. I know that going back in my... No, I won't go there. But my wife is just smiles at me, because all of us have this issue with pride in some degree or other, lots of it. And when we have to come and forgive somebody, we need to come with a heart of humility, a heart of submission, and that hurts us. And we don't like anything that dents our pride. Is anybody else like that here? Sorry, just maybe not talking to myself, eh? And the other thing, just while we're here, Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. I can't forgive you, because you're walking in sin. And the interesting thing is, a lot of us think that the Lord hears us when we pray, when we're living in a state of unforgiveness. But how is it that is the case? Because the Lord can't hear you when you're walking in a place of sin. And we pray like, Lord, you hear me. Why aren't you acting? Why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you doing something about this? How can we ask the Lord to listen to us and act and answer our prayers when we don't listen to him and do what he wants? I'm just putting it bluntly. Because we sometimes go before the Lord with a very casual attitude, saying, Lord, yeah, I want you to do this for me. You hear what I'm saying? I want you to do this for me. It's not a request. It's almost a demand or a command. But we won't listen to what he's saying and do it in our own lives. We won't obey him ourselves. So, yeah, we need to seriously examine ourselves. We need to have a real look at ourselves. When I say examine ourselves, we've mentioned a couple of times at the table of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul talks about the table of the Lord and sin in us, when we go up to the table of the Lord, he says, examine yourself. Romans, I think in Hebrews also, call us to have a look at ourselves, to examine ourselves. And I think the time is coming where the Lord is accelerating what he's doing in the church, accelerating what he wants done in our lives. And we need to be attentive to what he wants done, not to what we think. And there's a lot of things in our lives that need to be dealt with. And the real burning question is, are you allowing the Lord to do that to you? Are you saying, okay, Lord, I'm available. Show me. Put the spotlight on me. Do any of us like having the spotlight put on us? I don't know about you, but I've always been a low-key guy. But, you know, when you're low-key and then suddenly that spotlight comes on, you go, ooh, hold on a minute. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do with you. But you need to be prepared for it and say, Lord, because he does it in grace. He does it in love. He does it with the mercy that he's already shown us. And it's amazing how God shows us mercy. We don't show mercy to others. But the one thing about unforgiveness that we need to be sensitive to is that unforgiveness contaminates the church. When I say contaminates the church, it is a poison. And when we carry unforgiveness, one of the things that we do is we seek out other people who think the same way. And it affects others. It's and by innuendo and other things like that, we begin to infect the church. Why are there so many church splits and divisions and all sorts? It's because men and women will not humble themselves, will not come to the place where they say, Lord, we are prepared to pick up our cross, we're prepared to deny ourselves for you, for your purpose, for your kingdom, for what it is you want to do. Not for what I want. The problem is that there is too much carnality within some of the churches. And the carnality leads men to think in the flesh, not to walk in the spirit. And it's been when we think and walk in the flesh, guess what? We're going to go the worldly route. And the worldly route doesn't understand a true love for one another. We like each other. If we don't like each other, be gone. Don't darken my doorway. And the Lord wants to do a serious work in us. And Hebrews 12:15 says, don't let a root of bitterness grow up in you. Because we can be offended by somebody, anybody. And the problem with being offended by somebody, you've got a choice every time. One is to forgive. Two is to carry it. And we can determine to carry it because it's our right. I have a right to be upset. I have a right to be offended. I have a right to not forgive them. No, you don't. You've surrendered all your rights to the Lord already. So why is it you're demanding rights when he's already saying, no, you don't have any. Listen to what I want. Be obedient to what I want. You know, the biggest area where unforgiveness works in all of us is husbands, wives, fathers, kids, grandkids. Trust me. I never realized what a work grandkids could be in my life until I had them. You know, I thought I had no problems with my wife, but gee, you know. And the thing is, we live in a very tight, very close relationship. You have lots of opportunity to be offended. And you have lots of opportunity to offend them. And I have had to ask forgiveness more than once for my offense. I don't see why I should ask for forgiveness, but I'm told, no, that was offensive. It wasn't good. You need to, I need to go and pray about it and say, Lord, you need to show me clearly where I'm going wrong here. Because we do it. Sometimes we do it without thinking. How many of you are unaware of how often you offend other people, but are very aware of when they offend you? None of you. But it's fact. We judge people. Okay, we judge ourselves by our intentions, our intent. We judge other people by their actions. Yes? Think about it. And we judge very quickly, very easily. And that's something that gave back in the past. To give an example, I had a friend of mine, and it was in a church going back about 7 or 8 years, and I really got very, very offended, very upset, unforgiving, and I carried it for about 6 months. I mean, it was ridiculous. We're talking about, theoretically, presumably a mature Christian who understands the Word of God, who understands the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, holding on to this offense for a good 6 months. Where does that come from? It's a trap. And we need to be so aware of the trap. Why am I sharing this? I'm not too sure. The Lord's put it on my heart to share it. Because as we grow, as we come together, the Lord's going to be working. And we need to be very sensitive to not holding anything. Anyway, so eventually the Lord spoke to me. And I went and I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Because, you know, one of the things we need to remember about things like unforgiveness or sin, we think that they are issues and offenses against men and women. But in fact, they're offenses against the Lord. And when you realize that it's offense against the Lord, it's easier to deal with the people involved. Because if you realize that your unforgiveness, your offense is against God, not one another, but when you've actually walked before the Lord and you've bowed before him and you've submitted to him and you say, Lord, forgive me, please. Forgive me, Lord. Then it's easier, I'm not saying it's easy, easier to come before man or woman and say, forgive me, please. Anyway, I text this man, sent him a long message saying, please forgive me, I've held offense against you, blah, blah, blah. And he came back with, what are you talking about? No idea whatsoever of what I was talking about. And I genuinely, too, it wasn't like, it was like absolute surprise and actually quite upset about it. Well, what have I done? He's done nothing. I have taken offense. And it really shocked me to understand that when we're offended, a lot of times that person has no idea at all that you've been offended. And that's where we've got to take that offense and take it before the Lord and say, Lord, help me here. You know, we need to have this unity in the Spirit to build a church. And if we don't have that place of forgiving one another, of realizing the offense, accepting it, and moving on, we cannot build the church that the Lord wants. We're going to build in the flesh. We're going to build a religious organization, a club where we like each other. Hallelujah. If we don't like you, we'll go somewhere else. It's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants a unity in the Spirit. And, you know, we don't have any rights to be offended. And quite often I've heard, and it came out of a church, much to my horror and dismay, where from the pulpit, from a preacher, he was saying, you don't have to ask for forgiveness unless that person apologizes first. I mean, this is from the pulpit. I mean, I'm going, what? And that's not right. When you are aware of the offense that you carry, you go before the Lord. Sometimes we have to forgive people for things that are really difficult for us to do. I mean, there can be genuine, when I say genuine offense, real offense, not just a perceived offense, but a real offense where people do things to you. And I've seen men and women who've asked forgiveness from the Lord and have forgiven other people for the most horrendous things that you've ever seen in your life. Truly horrendous. Men and women who've taken their hearts and said, Lord, I need your love. I accept your forgiveness. Forgive me for holding offense against these people. A genuine hatred, in fact. And the Lord has cleansed them, cleaned them, and they've been able to go before those people concerned and say, I forgive you. And that just shows to me the power of the Lord that is there for us. And, you know, often we try to do these things in our own strength. And there are times when we can't do it. And when we have those situations, we need to say, Lord, please, help me. Help me to forgive. And it comes, we were talking the other night about it. Forgiveness starts from us making that decision to forgive. And sometimes it doesn't happen straight away. There are times, going back in time, it takes time for the Lord to work in us where we come to that place and say, I forgive you. Without the forgiveness of the Lord working in the two of us lives, without the working of God's forgiveness, we wouldn't be here. You know? And there are still mornings when I wake up and think, who's this lady? No. But it's true. Whether you like it or not, your relationships change and develop as you get older, as you become more mature. Mature meaning old. You actually end up changing. These things change. You know? You get up in the morning and you've got to put your hair on, your eyes on, your teeth on. I mean, it's quite shocking, in fact. But these things change. And it brings a different dynamic in the family. And so you can't just think, okay, I've asked forgiveness of the Lord once, hallelujah, we're on our way. It's not the way the Lord works. The road that we're walking is a road where it is a road of repentance and forgiveness. We cannot live our lives today without ending up, Lord, forgive me. I actually have to do it not just once a day. There are times when I do it lots of times. When Peter said, Lord, how many times? He's 7 times shall I forgive them. 70 times 7, a day. You add that up over a week, guys. I haven't got my calculator there. You can give me those figures. You hear what I'm saying? We need to allow the Lord to soften our hearts, to bring us into a place where the Lord will give me, you, the strength and the grace to live as he wants us to. You know, there are a lot of scriptures I don't always particularly like, but they're the word of the Lord. And it's not a matter of hearing or knowing the scriptures. In most cases, it's a matter of putting them into practice. The Lord says, I need obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Thank you, Lord, that's your word, I must go. It's a decision that you make. Unless you're prepared to pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow Jesus. You think about Jesus' attitude, Stephen's attitude. Jesus on the cross said, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Look at Stephen, who's dying, he's being stoned to death. And he says, Lord, forgive them, please. You know, there are situations that I read in the paper and I think, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. But it's when you're in that situation and you ask the Lord for his grace, that grace is sufficient, as he said to Paul. And we try to do it ourselves. You cannot do it in the flesh. And we need to respond to the gospel. You need to respond to what the Holy Spirit is prompting you. Because our response to the gospel and our response to the cross always determines the result. And when I say that, it's either growing and maturing or backsliding. There's no gray areas at all with the Lord. It's one side or the other side. And we need to respond and allow the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts, not to harden our hearts against people, because it takes you nowhere. It will kill you. It will stop you serving. It will stop you doing anything. You will actually backslide. That is if you allow this unforgiveness to dwell in your hearts. And the one thing is that the prodigal son, when he came back to his father, he said, Father, forgive me. Where did the restoration come from? You know, Andrew was talking about the fact that we are robbed. When we come before the Father and we ask that forgiveness, where does the restoration come from? It doesn't come from the enemy's camp. It comes from the Father, and the Father alone. Whatever you've lost is lost. It's like Job. Where did Job's restoration come from? From the Lord. And that's where our restoration comes from, is from the Lord. So we need to make sure that we are not robbed of that inheritance that we have. And sometimes we rob ourselves of that inheritance. So this morning, that is my encouragement to be humble before the Lord, to submit yourself, to put your pride aside and say, Lord, show me what you need to show me. There are many things in our lives that the Lord doesn't approve of. And Lord sometimes shines his light on them early in our walk. And sometimes it's 40 years down the line, he puts his light on something and you think, but Lord, how come you've waited this long? Maybe because I couldn't handle it then. I wasn't prepared to. My heart was, maybe, I don't know. But we all need to be in that place now of accepting what the Lord wants. To grow as the Lord wants us to grow. We can't do our own thing anymore. So this morning, that is my encouragement. The Father forgave the prodigal son, just as he forgives us when we come before him and repent and ask his forgiveness. And he restores us to where we need to be. He does restore us. I know that. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Was it easy? No. Is it still easy? No. But the Father has done a work. I know that in our lives the Father has done a work of restoration and brought us back to the place where we are walking with him, with one another, in a fellowship here. What a restoration. What else do we need? The grace of the Lord and his love. So this morning, that's my encouragement. To humble yourselves. Take your pride and put it aside and then say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. And as he forgives us, so we forgive one another. Because that's what he wants. It's very simple when you say it. It's very difficult sometimes when you want to put it in practice. But the grace of the Lord is there for all of us. Just call on him. Also, one thing. Just in closing, don't forget, we've got brothers and sisters, and I look out here, you mature in the Lord. We can seek counsel. There's wisdom in much counsel. That's in Proverbs 5, not from Arthur. But so. Right, so that is me. I just want to encourage each and every one of you that we need to walk the way the Lord wants us, to walk in His grace, His strength, and his prompting. And we need to be listening. More and more each day now we need to be listening. So, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, Lord. And Lord, I want to ask you, please, that for each and every one of us, we would seek you, Lord. And Lord, I know that you are faithful, Lord, that as we seek you, as we ask you to show us where it is that we may not be right with you, Lord. Lord, that you'd show us clearly. Lord, and not only that you'd show us, Lord, but that we'd be obedient, Lord, that we would put it into action, Lord, wherever is necessary. And Lord, it's not always necessary to go to the people concerned, Lord, but it's to realize that it is you that we need to ask forgiveness of, Lord. That it is you and you alone who give us that forgiveness and the grace and the strength to continue, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here, that you are convicting and prompting and guiding and leading. And Lord, we thank you for your grace, most of all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.